I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
From the Thoros Beta Shouting Japanese Cosplay Championships, and and you kind of say that again, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, which we believe to be the only Doctor Who podcast in existence. My name is John Rain, and joining me to try and put themselves in peri are mentor Tom Meenan and mentor de force Paul Litchfield.
Hey!
So, please, give us some silence.
Oh.
Crozier on down. Shut the dwarf. While you read my frax. And let's enter the mind warp.
Yay.
Wow. Gosh, John, I thought you just had a stroke then, but you're all right.
Oh, I did that before I came on air.
Yeah.
Now, mind warp. Off, not requested, but if you weren't watching Mind Warp, Paul, please tell us, what would you have been watching?
Well, I will. Love the show, boys. So it's Saturday the 4th of October and it's 1986, would you believe? Yeah, you're going to watch Mind Warp, but before that on BBC One, you'd be watching Saturday Superstore.
Yay!
With special guests, Wayne Sleep and Five Star.
Oh, I wonder if that's the episode.
Is that the episode?
I think that might be that episode.
It's the episode. Bloody
it's
hell.
That episode. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. Before this went out, they had the world at their feet. It all went wrong.
Because this was pre-Going Live, wasn't it? Going Live came on after Saturday Superstore.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I wonder if Wayne Sleep's got his hands dirty in the whole affair. I wonder if it was actually, it all comes down to sleep, and even now to this day, he's got away with it.
And no, he was punished with Mr. Blobby, wasn't he?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's
how they used to punish people at the BBC.
Didn't he cloned himself, and that's why people said there's only three more sleeps till Christmas.
Oh, my God.
You shit, that's brilliant. Well done. Jesus, after Saturday Superstore, it was Grandstand until 5 o'clock, of course.
Yep.
And then there was the news until 5:45, and then it was Doctor Who. So 5:45.
Perfect.
5:45.
Doctor Who, Trial of the Time Lord, Part 5, Mind Warp.
It is a bit early to be watching a woman just... Well, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a lot of dark stuff in this one that maybe is a very early time.
You shove Syl in something, it gets really dark, doesn't it? There is blurb, and it says, the TARDIS arrives on Thoros Beta, homeworld of the Mentors, and the Doctor's old foe. Plot. Sorry, Syl. That was followed, of course, after Doctor Who. I mean, you've just seen the first episode of Doctor Who, Mind Warp, and then you get Noel Edmonds' late breakfast show!
Yay!
Before he killed someone!
Have you got a claim to fame? Will you accept the Golden Gauntlet and beat the Flushbusters? What? Oh. The Hit Squad and the Golden Egg are back, and so is Smitty's Challenge. And I just wrote, fucking grow up.
What is any of that? That's
just
nonsense.
Just grow up, will you?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Oh, anyway, you've just watched Noel Edmonds' Late Night Breakfast Show. It's time for the Russ Abbott Show.
Hey!
Songs of joy and tears.
Tears of laughter are all we need.
Lift our hearts.
Is this not like the Madhouse?
Oh, no, this was after Madhouse.
This is Has he been evicted from the Madhouse now?
This is the vanilla pared down.
Well, no, Madhouse was ITV.
Yeah.
He was snagged by the Beeb.
You'd poach him, wouldn't you?
Poach
Abbott. Yeah.
You would. The Russ Abbott Show. And it just says this. If there's something strange in your neighbourhood, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Oh my god. 2 years late, Russ. 2 years late. Also, mind you, he was still dressing as a teddy boy, so the time didn't matter to him.
He's doing just Tommy Cooper impression.
Yeah, it's true. He'd been dead 2 years.
I could just so picture the sketch as well, just then with Hoovers and Dusters.
And there's Dennis going, oh, who are we going to call?
Yeah. And then, don't worry, you're called Ghostbusters. And then, what's that? It's me, Shammy, etc. anyway, after that, you had Casualty. And it's this has got the blurb is just some dialogue from the episode, but standalone, it just very, very prescient. The dialogue says, "You don't know what this epidemic is doing. It's terrifying."
Good.
The action episode was about a bus crash. That's just the guy doing the blurb. Yeah.
It's a man in a bath changing a plug with a toaster on a bus. He's just waiting for something to happen.
The epidemic of women. That's
how COVID-19 started, Tom, in China. That's how it started. And then you had a film called Wet Gold.
Oh dear. Mm.
There's no blur, but it just says with Brooke Shields and Burgess Meredith. Oh. Wet Gold.
Oh, Rocky Burgess.
Get your hands off my gold, Missy. It's wet. Well, dry it off then. The end. BBC Two started at 6 a.m. till 9:45 with CFAX.
Great.
And then, of course, at 9:45, it was back for some more Open University. A whole host of courses this week, including wave particle paradoxes, biomechanics, computers, and Doris. Touching things in the countryside. Doris. Get the bloody tent down from the attic. We're going camping. What do you want to do camping, Bert? I want to touch things. Look at those illocks. Doris, put a big bra around them. Look at that truncated spur.
Truncated spur? What are you talking about?
That's geography, that is. God, look at that igneous rock.
That one's wearing stalactites.
Blimey! Look at that oxbow leg. Calm down, will you, Bert? Please. Touching things in the countryside. What the fuck? Oh dear. Open University courses went on from 9:45 to 5 to 5.
Oh,
oh my god! And then it was Newsnight live from China. The team closely follows the Queen in China. They just closely follow her. Well, there she is going to the lab there.
That's how Witchell got his restraining order.
I can't bear that, man. And then at 6:20 was The Secret Life of Paintings, episode one. And they called it A Load of Old Bosh.
Hey! Oh,
nice. There we go. Nice. There you are. And then there was absolutely nothing of any consequence that followed after. So that was your joys on BBC One and BBC Two.
But why?
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 Why would you have watched any of that? Well, you could have been watching The Gripping. Gripping. Trial of a Time Lord series.
Yes. Mm. Beautiful, beautiful opening titles and music.
Mm,
Christ.
Again with the same shot of the TARDIS going in the ship. We're greeted, first of all, by the Valyard.
Ooh.
Not the Brickyard. Not the backyard, and certainly not the knacker's yard.
Mm.
Which I was annoyed she got those lines, because it'd be better if Colin said them.
Yes.
But, yes.
But he's providing evidence to the presiding inquisitor.
Yes.
He calls Saga City.
Saga City. Saga Holiday.
Saga City. Yeah, yeah.
Saga City. Welcome to Saga City.
And the doctor's like, oh, stop sucking up to her, Valyard.
Yeah.
Stop calling her Sagacity.
Yeah.
Even though that's what you call her.
And then there's a lovely model shot of a ship. That's lovely.
Best bit. Looks good. Best bit.
Best bit.
But we're watching The Matrix again, not the film.
Yes, that's true.
Showing us more details of the doctor's actions. And this time it's on Thoris Beta.
Yeah, this is the second of his trial evidences, isn't it?
Yes.
After Mysterious Planet.
He even says, the Valyard says, we should watch the Doctor's next frightening adventure.
Ooh.
All right, mate.
There you go.
I know you work here, but turn it down a bit.
So they decide to show, of all of the adventures the Doctor has ever had, they're going to show the one where he categorically and demonstrably is a coward and fails.
Yeah, absolutely. We will get to this in detail. But then what he does is the Valiard then basically shows home videos of the Doctor landing on a beach. They arrive
like
on Forest
been
Beach.
Framed.
Yeah, which is very pink.
Very pink, isn't it?
They've done that thing they used to be able to do in video editing where you could just like desaturize and saturize the colours. Yes. Well, they did all the time in the Rani.
Yeah, David Barry's in the next corner shooting a video.
Yeah. Look at the state of that cunt's costume.
You wouldn't catch me wearing that.
But the Doctor is curious because he knows about the Thoros Beta having advanced weaponry. Because of the warlords of Thordon.
Yes.
And he said that he was the dying words of the guy in charge of Thordon was send more beams that kill.
And as Perry is getting out of the TARDIS, because he's landed it like halfway in the middle of the bloody sea, isn't he?
Yeah.
Silly bugger. Perry does hint yet again that she may have possibly been sexually molested in the last adventure.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Poor old Perry.
And she's like, is this water safe because it's pink? And he goes, oh yeah, it's quite safe.
Yeah.
Quite, I want more than quite safe.
It's really safe for Time Lords.
Kills humans. Oh shit.
Kills humans instantly.
Just a boiling skeleton. But no, she doesn't. So we see them stepping out of the TARDIS, then it cuts back to the trial and they're like, why have you just shown us that?
He doesn't have an answer.
And then he goes,
because this episode is 24 minutes long, Doctor.
The Doctor says that was just nonsense, and then Sagacity says, yeah, it was. Why have you done that? And he goes, I wanted to show that who else will stop the warlords, is what the Doctor said. Arrogance, that is.
There you go. Exactly.
He said anyone could have stopped these warlords. The Doctor's like, well they didn't, did they? That's why I was here.
As we know, the only person who could stop a beam that kills is Gordon Kay in an arrogant...
That's right. Or
the
a
other
good
renegade
guy with a beam
Lord.
That kills.
The renegade Time Lord has affairs with all of his companions. Yes.
Stupid Ramona.
Stupid Rani. Can't you see I was adjusting her time spanner? Etc. And then in comes the master, good morning.
I've got a big bock of funnies.
In my TARDIS. Which it would be, so.
Can I take a pocture of your vagina? Yeah.
No! Sorry, knee. Pick off.
Yeah. I'm here for the dicta.
You poor vort. But so they all sound like Doctor Who villains as well.
They do.
I am the poor vort.
Imagine the Sill at the bar lifting up his glasses. It is Sill. I've got a little tank. It's a fish tank. I live in it.
Oh my God.
But this being Doctor Who, the Doctor looks once, then once again, it goes, oh, look, there's a cave. Let's go in there.
Cave
over there.
You want to say, just for once, why not go in the cave? Why don't you find a door?
Just
climb up this perilous cliff. That's the way in. All right, then. And then Perry immediately gets crabs. She gets attacked.
She gets attacked by some sort of giant fish thing.
Fish, crustacean
the
thing.
The rock? Is that the rock? What it's called? The rock.
Which seems to be the key to a story somewhere that we never find out about.
No.
The rock's very important to someone.
Yeah, because they're like, did you attack the rock? And he says, well, because it had weapons of mass destruction. And he says, no, I didn't. And they're like, oh my God. It's like, well, it's a big monster. Wouldn't it attack everybody? Is it usually just sitting there reading a book?
I don't know what it's doing.
It's putting together ingredients, because can you smell what the rock is cooking? We're all having fun.
We're having lots of fun with mine. Yeah. Never been said before.
Anyway, the Doctor kills it.
Yeah.
The Doctor kills it with a mini disc player.
Yeah.
Take that, Shania Twain, best of.
Yeah.
So the fish thing's dead, and then these guards turn up and say, "Well, you're going to have to come with us because you shouldn't. They shouldn't have attacked you."
It's really funny. They're like, "What have you done to him, you shit?"
Oh no!
He's lovely. He was. It's like a wife and family.
It's like if Sloth from the Goonies came out and they just chopped his head off. He's so nice. Why did you do that?
What did you do that for? He's lovely. And he's a Pisces. Oh. Anyway, we're taking you to see the boss.
Yeah, they're taking you to see Crozier. And the doctor lies. They say, oh, are you friends of Crozier? Which I thought was maybe like friends of Dorothy. And he's like, oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So they go to Crozier's lab. And there we see Brian Blessed, dressed as some sort of hybrid Japanese barbarian.
It's not ideal, is it?
I love the...
Yeah, that's
you just
good.
Know none of that was in the script, by the way.
No.
I'm not sure that he even read it. I think he just... Oh,
I think
lie there.
They said, Brian, for this one, I want you to play it down. And he went, okay, I will. I've worked with Brian Blessed, and that is what he is like.
Really?
Yep, constantly. All the time. I did a voiceover job with him. He's insane. Yeah. I love him. He's got Tourette's, but he doesn't know it. His third word is fuck.
Yeah.
He once said to me, I was going in to do my bit, and I was sat in the green room with him, and he went, my milkman, a woman. I was like, what? That was his opener. My milkman, a woman. So, all right. And there is another story about Brian, but I cannot possibly tell it on air, but I'll tell you both off air. It's amazing.
Well, he's in this, there's this documentary called After Flash, which is about Sam Jones, who played Flash Gordon. And he's in that, and he's telling
an
anecdote.
Yeah.
You've seen it. He's telling the anecdote about how Dino De Laurentiis was on set and just bullying everybody. And he went, and I said to Dino, and then he drops his face totally and looks at the person off camera and goes, can I swear? She goes, yeah. And he goes, I said, fuck you, Dino. Oh, no, it was fuck off. Fuck off, Dino.
He is the national treasure that we that is the genuine national treasure, Brian Blessed, in my opinion.
And he's got weird feet. Him. Does he?
He does. Yeah, he has flippers.
Oh, God. I really worry about him because he can't... I want to tell him, you don't need to anymore. Mm. We all like you. If you wanted to do a TV appearance where you just sort of talk like that and everything's fine. But like... Because Tom Baker had to sort of rein it in, didn't he? He's sort of he's at the age now where he's sort of, you know, he's quite frail. But he's still Tom Baker. He's still got the glitz, but he doesn't give it the full Baker still. Mm. And I sort
even
of
now,
to...
even now, Blessed does the voiceover for Flash Speed Mop. And even in that, he goes, Flash Speed Mop gets rid of, was it, Lala Bits and Raggy Alfred Pants! Brian, just rein it in a touch, please. Oh.
I'd love to cast him in something, but completely off type, completely off his usual, his usual part.
Yes.
And see how he reacts to it. I bet his brain would explode if you
do a remake of Pride and Prejudice and put him in the lead lady.
As all the characters. Yeah. He quite recently was in a genuine science program where they were talking about how, because they had to get him on because they were like, how shouting and screaming or even swearing can help get you through pain. The reason why people like nub their toe and go, ah, shit, it's a way of delaying pain or something. Yeah. So they prove it by getting Brian Blessed to put his hand in a bucket of ice cold water. And first of all, he puts it in and goes like, oh, shit, and takes his hand out after 10 seconds. Then they say, Brian, put your hand, but swear. So if you just turn it on randomly, it's Brian Blessed in the middle of a theatre with his hand in a big bucket of water going, fuck shit, ass wank! Ass fuck shit! You're like, oh, this is science, is it? Oh.
They're paying me for this. We should also point out the reason he has got flippers is because he was only partway through the process of getting brain melded with one of Syl's people.
That's true, yes, there you go. Yeah. Origin story. Go.
Yeah, he's having his brain pacified, everybody.
Yes.
Because they've chosen him, of all people in the entire universe,
the best
as
a donor body.
As a donor body, yeah. So the Doctor and Perry then run away, and they're like, oh, Crozier's like, rightly, don't worry about them, they'll get eaten soon enough.
Yeah.
And they meet Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Oh, he's gross, isn't he? Old Dorf.
Old Dorf.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
looking,
horrible.
They've given him these horrible teeth that when he opens his mouth, he looks like a puma.
Yeah.
Also, he can't seem to actually close his mouth. The costume is got lockjaw, like.
Yeah.
And imagine him out when they're not doing takes in the BBC canteen and they're just throwing eggs in his mouth. He's like, fuck off!
And becomes a moonoid.
Yeah. A monoid,
sorry.
Yeah.
So he's chained up in this dungeon sort of area.
Yeah.
But he's whimpering like a sad cat.
Yeah. Oh,
Perry's like, oh, can we keep him? Connor's like, no.
No.
So then the doctor discovers, as they're hiding, the seal's being brought past. And then she's like, what's Seal doing here? And he's like, well, it's his home planet. And she's like, well, I didn't know that.
No, that'd be good to know.
I did. Yeah.
So we finally get the first shot of Seal, the gone-off crab stick. Fucking Randy Mothball. The Incredible Hulk's bollocks. A wallet full of sick. A garden gnome's taint. A shifty little ball cock. An out of date cornetto. A terrapin's arsehole. So sorry. I'm so sorry.
An out of date cornetto.
I mean, hats off to Mr. Nabil Shaban.
Yeah, because brilliant.
He's so good at that character. He repulses me so much. When he's eating those, what they call marsh bogies, whatever they are. Marsh minnows. It is fucking disgusting.
It's horrible, isn't it? I think it's because I watched them both together just a few days ago. But all I thought about Nabil Shaban is that bit in the new series of I Think You Should Leave, if like he just sat there when they went, there's too much shit on me.
I don't want to be around anymore.
It's just the idea of just sat there eating what looks like phlegm. It's just horrible.
Yeah. It's
like,
it's so horrible.
But Perry's a bit upset about it because she said he once tried to turn me into a bird woman. And Colin gets to say, I know, cost me a fortune in birdseed.
Makes no sense.
It didn't at all.
Because she didn't turn into a bird.
It was a partial sequence that was then stopped.
Yeah.
And I noticed when we got back to the TARDIS, you insisted on feeding me fucking birdseed.
I thought you
are an arsehole.
I thought you were Trillian from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, nice.
But Doctor, that doesn't make sense. Oh, shut up. You'll be dead soon.
Yeah.
So Syl is having dinner. Oh, no, this is the point where Valiard cuts in and says, Doctor, do you love danger? And he's like,
I like pies.
You mean the toilets in 5 minutes? Because he says, you're always putting... This is a brilliant equation he comes up with. He says, basically, we've worked out that you've had more companions in danger than you. And the doctor goes, well, I've had loads of companions, and there's only one me. So that would make sense somehow, wouldn't it? But that's his whole point. It's like, you're always putting your companions in danger knowingly. You've brought Perry to this planet, knowing her history with Syl. So you're a bit bad. And then they're like, okay, fair enough. And they turn around and look at the telly again. And the Valiard's like, I particularly like this one because it's still having dinner in the bath with Mike from the Young Ones.
Hi there, I'm Yasmin Akram. Join myself and my friend Philippa Dunn each week for our podcast We Heart Worry, a show about cars and their engines. Obviously not. It's a show where we talk about our fears, our worries, and our anxieties in a bid to help you with yours. And we just have a laugh as well. So join us. There's nothing to be scared of. I promise.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is one hell of a scene, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing.
Incredible.
What I like about Mind Warp, because it's awful, but what I like about it is it hits the ground running at a relentless maniac speed and never never stops.
No.
Before episodes.
but basically we find out that Mike from the Young Ones is Kim.
Yes.
Oh my god, brilliant character. I love the character idea. Yeah. He's great.
And he's dying. But he's like Sil's people's leader.
Yes. Yeah.
So what they want to do is find him a new body. And then he's like, you've picked fucking Brian Blessed. What the fuck's wrong with you?
I won't be put inside a massive swearing turnip. That's what we got for you, mate. What I like is when Dr. Crozier sits down to explain to Kiv the process, he sort of sits in his little mossy bath.
Yeah.
Like, get off, that's my fucking chair. I live in this.
You've sat on my rubber ducky.
Exactly. Oh, you sat on my acorns. Etc, etc.
Big shout out as well to Martha Jones's dad, who is the main guard there as well. Because both him and... both Mike from the Young Ones and him turn up in other Doctor Who stories. One as a Sontaran and then as Martha Jones's dad.
Yes, that's right. Exciting. Yeah.
It's always good to see Mike from the Young Ones, a.k.a. Christopher Ryan, a.k.a.
Christopher Ryan.
Dave Hedgehog. Appearing. It's good, though, because you hear his voice before you see him. Mm. And it reminds me of those little skits that used to be in The Young Ones with the puppets and things. And Christopher Ryan was quite good and didn't get any credit for doing silly voices.
Even with the modulation, he's got a very distinct voice, hasn't he?
He always reminds me of that one where they have the house meeting in Oil. And it's they're doing upstairs, downstairs. And he's like the voice of the duster who says, oh, yes, we're very nice to us. He does a very silly voice. I always like that. But anyway, we cut back to Brian Blessed hooked up to strawberry laces.
Yeah, goodness me.
And they're basically like, yeah, this is all going quite well, I suppose, if you want to be in that. But Doctor and Perry find that the scientist Crozier is working for Sil.
Yes.
And, as I said, he wants to put Kiv in another body. So the Doctor, when they find the Doctor, they then say, well, we're going to put you in the machine.
Yeah.
And they hook him up to it, and he's like, oh, and then the cliffhanger.
And Sil's there laughing away. The radioactive dog biscuit. The
Muller. Crozier, of course.
Muller cunt corner.
is Captain Hilary Duff from The High Life as well?
I was going to say, it's the Captain from The High Life.
Yes.
I think this is the only other thing I've ever seen him in.
He's very good.
He's good. Mm. He's great in this.
Yeah, he's very
He has
malevolent.
One of the best moments in Doctor Who, pretty much. Coming up later.
Oh, exciting.
Mm, I love it. Mm. So while this is all going on, we come back from the cliffhanger and the recap. Brian Blessed is basically like, fuck this, I've had enough of this.
Yeah,
and he gets up and just goes, and starts smashing up the place.
Starts doing some subtle acting.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
He pushes over a table, and in the reflection of the silver table, you can see all the cameras and the crew.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
Perfect.
And they're trying to sort of subdue him, but he's too strong.
Of course
and
he is. It's
he
Brian
grabs
Blessed.
His helmet, not like that. His Japanese warrior helmet that he's got for some reason.
Yeah.
And basically just goes, fuck you, and runs off. So the Doctor and Perry go with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, we must crush our enemies, raise an army, and like melons in a heap.
I know.
And the Doctor is a bit wonky at this point because he's had his brain sucked a bit.
He's been mind-bothered briefly, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's like that from then till the end, right? He's sort of he's never quite right again.
No. Also, he's like this when it cuts back to the court on Gallifrey. He's still like,
I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of this. It's like,
it's like someone said, like all those people who must be watching like video footage of them like going out celebrating after the England game and like watching it back and being like, oh God, was I on top of a bus? Okay.
Why was Brian Blessed smashing it up?
Yeah.
Why is he talking about melons?
Yeah.
I think we know why.
Why did you put Sil in a shopping trolley and push him in the canal?
It was one of those little shopping trolleys they give you that put the chips in sometimes. Yeah. So the Doctor, meanwhile, is sort of copying all of Blessed's mannerisms and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because at one point, Blessed goes, the Doctor does it as well, and then he starts going,
yeah.
It's a bit, they're really going full on ham, aren't they, at this point?
And then he starts asking Perry about what the warriors are like on Earth.
Mm.
Yes.
And she says they're all mighty warriors. And he says, I should like to meet these mighty warriors of Earth.
This encapsulates for me the entire problem with Baker's run, which is, throughout all of this, you cannot deny that Colin Baker is doing great acting.
Mm.
The trouble is, it's just, it's horrible because he's not being the Doctor. He's being like, he's being really horrible and really sort of cowardly and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like, nothing, obviously Colin's a great actor, but like he's been given awful stuff to do. Mm. It's very strange.
Meanwhile, Mark the Cool Person is upset as he needs to get a new life.
Yes.
And then the Doctor sort of says to Crozier that he has the answers he needs.
Mm.
Oh no, sorry, say it, I'll start that again. Meanwhile, Mike the Cool Person is upset as he needs to get a new life. He thinks that the Doctor, Crozier thinks the Doctor has the answers for him.
Right.
So meanwhile, the Doctor, Perry and Blessed and all his men plan an attack on Syl.
Yeah.
As they walk in, the Doctor goes, look, there they are, they're going to try and kill you.
Yeah, I hate that.
What was that about?
The Doctor tries much later on to backpedal and go, I was just playing a little ruse to gain their trust. And you're like, were you?
Yeah. It doesn't look like
and
it.
And also, you really, really put Perry through the mill in this. Mm.
It's horrible.
Shit.
This is awful.
Yeah.
Say, no, it was just a ruse. What, your entire Doctor Who season was a ruse?
I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg in terms of
Perry.
It's
unbelievable. Well. Yeah. Unbelievable.
So Perry and Blessed run off. The Doctor sticks around and starts saying, well, you know, I think I'm going to work with you guys now because you're great.
Yeah.
And Seal's like, oh, I love that you're a turncoat.
Yeah. what Syl should go is, no, you're lying. Lying, because you're the Doctor and you stop everything bad happening in the entire known universe.
Yeah.
Not going to trust you.
Yeah.
But instead he goes,
like a Gremlin's foreskin. Meanwhile, the Valiard then says, you are a bastard. And the Doctor goes, well, no, I can't be. Yes, it was just a clever ploy.
It was a ploy.
And you're not convincing anyone in either of these scenarios right now, Doctor. No. Because in the court, it looks like you're lying your ass off.
Yeah.
Well, because they keep going, well, the Matrix doesn't lie.
Mm.
Mm.
And even Linda Bellinger goes, well, no, the Matrix doesn't lie.
He's like, not sure about that.
Turns out a bit later on, the Matrix has been lying.
Yeah. The whole time.
Yeah.
Can't trust
the whole fucking time.
Once again, we've got him in his muscly body.
I look pretty good there, don't I?
Yeah.
What do you think, Sagacity?
Yeah.
But we find out there's only one more day left to save Kiv.
Yes.
So the Doctor says, well, I'll because the machine's now fucked because Brian Blessed gave it a good kick.
Yeah.
And the Doctor goes, well, I'll help you fix it. And Syl's like, no, he can't. And Crozier's like, no, he's the only person qualified who could help.
Mm.
So then Blessed bumps into Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
And frees him and says he was once a great warrior.
Yeah.
Mm. And he can be a great warrior again.
Now he's worst in show.
Mm. He's got mange.
Got the mange.
But Perry,
down.
Perry meets one of the Mentor's servant women.
Yes.
And she puts her into the skies and says, I can get you close to the Doctor.
Yeah.
But then they have
a weird ploy as well, because she doesn't turn out to be remotely nice, the Matrona.
No.
She's
like, why don't you come and work for me and be a servant? And she's like, all right.
What's the money like?
Yeah.
So the Doctor then is having a sort of Viking meal with Syl and everybody. With goblets and all sorts.
Yeah.
And he notices that Perry's one of the servants. And he goes, you, girl, come here.
Horrible.
Yeah. And then she comes over and he's like, I want more drink.
Mm.
And she gets him more. And then he just stands up and whips the... She's got like a veil on.
Yeah.
Whips it off and says, look, it's Perry. And she's trying to poison us.
Oh, for God's sake.
Little shit. What,
another ploy.
Another
ploy. To the point where he's like, he's beheading Perry and go like, no, this is all part of a longer scheme.
Yeah. As he gently saws her in half. He's like, she's dead and she's in 9 bits. She'll thank me later. What? What are you doing? Meanwhile, Syl's laughing it all up like a wonky fucking croissant.
So then we cut back again to the Valyard, and he says, no, this was the ploy.
Yeah. It's all a ploy.
So then poor Perry is now chained to some rocks on the beach.
This is horrible.
Horrible. The doctor comes over and is like, confess to who you're working for. Mm. She's like, I don't understand. Why are you being like this? And then he comes closer and says, look, it's all a ploy. I want to learn more about Seal's plan.
Yeah. And then goes back to being abusive.
Yeah. Who's watching at this point?
Yeah,
it's like, there's no cameras on us, Doctor. You can speak to us. Why are you repeatedly punching in me in the face and putting crabs on me nose?
And then as they're walking her towards her death,
yeah,
she says again, why are you doing this? And he says, I'm doing what is best. And then Brass Blessed arrives and says, I will kill you to the Doctor.
Die!
Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And we come back for the cliffhanger and he's like, Oh, all right, Perry. And he says, my lady, what have you done?
Papagillion of Brown.
And they, well, yeah, I don't know how they got that name. Glass coffee table, maybe.
Yeah. I'm saying nothing.
Don't say anything. No. So Perry stops Blessed from doing that and they run away together, regrouping with all of his men.
Yes. Mm.
And the Valyard says, you are a turncoat and a coward.
Yeah. And does he call him a...
He says, you're barmy.
Barmy.
I am not barmy.
And the doctor goes, I'm not barmy.
Does he call him a toady as well?
I think so, yeah.
A toady. He's been watching Neighbours.
the worst theme tune.
Yeah.
So Crozier has meanwhile found another... Frankenstein's beret.
Yeah.
and this one apparently he just found, you know, bobbing dead in the sea.
Bobbing dead in the sea. Yeah,
that'll do.
Yeah. We good news. We've got found a new kidney for you. Oh, really? Yeah, we found a dead bloke bobbing in the sea. We use that. Oh, great. That sounds good.
He was like 2 minutes away from having his brain transferred into a crisp packet.
but there's a bad news. This one's still got his tail fanny.
Yeah.
Which is a stinger.
Yeah.
And so Kib's body's dying and Crozier's going to transplant his brain into this new one.
Yeah.
With the doctor's help. And the doctor gets dressed up in his orange doctor, you know, surgeon garb.
Yes.
And I thought already that's a better costume.
Yeah, it didn't want that the whole time.
One too many colours put on the palette now.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And Seal's all worried because Seal needs Kiv to survive.
Mm. Yeah.
Excuse me, because else Seal would be in a lot of trouble somehow. Or he's just worried about his own head, isn't he?
Yeah, and his business mind. Hasn't Kiv got an amazing business mind?
Yes,
that's right.
Apparently. That's very important, yeah.
And Seal's just a mouldy fucking pincushion, so.
So they start the procedure, and then we go back to Blessed, who I noticed is starting... The way he played Boss Nass in The Phantom Menace is very much this, isn't it?
Yeah.
You will have on bongo. They drink it in the Congo. That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't you think they miss a trick now? Because they've just established that this temporary sort of conker that they're going to shove Kiv in has got a stinging tail. Mm. And you just go, surely that's going to be... No. Surely that's going to... He accidentally kills someone or something. Yeah. I mean, he's got a stinging... That's a shame.
Nothing. Never comes back.
It's not an important detail.
It's a real shame. He could have killed Syl.
They then do the operation.
Yeah.
It fails.
Yeah.
Then it works.
Yeah.
And Crozier says, I can conquer death, which is a bit of a fucking humble brag, if you ask me.
It is.
Hang on, you just found a fucking cork bobbing in the ocean and decided to shove a brain in it.
And you know it's going to work because the model has Chris Ryan's face.
Yeah. So you definitely know it's
going
to work.
But then it's not going too well. And then my favourite moment in all of Doctor Who, pretty much, is that Crozier gently sipping on a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yes, Mark and the other ones kind of sits there going, brr.
Yeah. Just finishes his beverage before saving his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. I like that.
Seal's panicking. Cool. Seal's panicking like a mouldy old cat flap.
And then the doctor gets in the bath with Seal and eats some jelly with him.
That's horrible.
That's horrible. Yeah. That sounds horrible.
I mean, I know we're trying to say I'm on your side, but don't eat the fucking marshmallows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh. No. Meanwhile, Steve Buscemi wanders out of the darkness with bad eyes and dies. He's a spice trader. He was 20 when he left, and now he looks 100.
Yeah, he obviously read the script. Yeah.
Blessed smells treason.
Mm.
We don't know why yet.
No.
Yeah. But meanwhile, Kiv has got worse. But then he gets better. Which is something that's happening a lot here.
It is. And Chris Ryan was absolutely... Mm. He was coining it in for basically just sort of being into prosthetics and sitting back. I think he's a great move.
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Sill's now consulting his stocks and shares and his credits, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
Like a frisbee full of rotten yams.
But he sees Sill, Kiv does, and shits himself.
Yeah.
It made me think...
And then eats it.
Yeah, what it must have been like being married to Gary Bushell. and then Kiv's like, no, I feel fine. I feel great. I feel like
definitely great now.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem at all.
No problems.
So meanwhile, Blessed Perry and all his men go to attack the weapon stash, but rocks have fallen down and blocked it.
Oh no.
And then they're captured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not then surprising, given that this whole sort of cave network seems to be about 100 metres squared. Like, yeah, there's nowhere to really hide, is there?
Yeah.
No. So the Valiard then tells the Doctor he's being a prick again. Because Perry's definitely dead. Because she got shot with a stun gun.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Doctor's like, no, she isn't dead. And she isn't.
No.
So meanwhile, Kiv, cut back to Kiv, who's now going, I'd love a glass of seawater. Like, what? And he's like, lovely. And a can of Quattro.
Yeah.
That's not like him.
And Sill's still all, I hope you're doing well. The broccoli tampon.
He's like young Mr. Grace Sill. Yeah. We are all doing very well.
The pesto prick.
God.
Anyway, Kiv needs his brain transplanted again.
The lime butt plug.
Yeah.
So they'll need to get another brain because apparently the host cells are fighting back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he'd only recently died.
It was a very strong fisherman monster that they found bobbing in the bay. My God. And there's a lovely bit with Perry. She's just stood next to Brian Blessed. There's a little lull in the proceedings. Mm. But she sort of turns to Brian Blessed and essentially goes, do you know what? I'm sick and fucking tired of all this.
Yeah.
And they start having a little flirty joke together.
Yeah.
It's nice. Mm. I mean, given what's going to happen.
But she says, I'm fed up with all of this. It's just too much.
Yeah.
And you're like, Perry, leave now. Run away now while you have the chance. Just run.
So then Sill and Crozier decide that Perry would be a more suitable body.
Yeah, what?
Kiv's perfect. Hey, I'll tell you what. Kiv's going to stay in all day, right, lads? You coming out, Kiv? No, I'm bloody not.
Doris, I'm locked in the shed. I'm doing me taxes.
Another mirror delivered for you, Kiv. Put it on the ceiling.
Oh, sexist pig. And the Doctor's not happy about this. So as the operation is being prepared, he sneaks away and frees Brian Blessed. He meets this other little Sill who's sitting in a pond. All he needs is a fishing rod and a gnome's hat.
No, this one's a different species, isn't it? It looks like a grinning glands.
Yeah.
And he goes...
Oh, there's the guy,
oh, is that later?
Pterolactyl face, because they just use the mask.
Oh, yeah, not the pterolactyl, no.
Oh, sorry, I meant the little grinning glands that turned up.
No. He's quite strange.
The one who's by his pond, who is old. He's the old
one, yes. He's like, can you keep the noise down, please?
Well, he has a good running joke about Blessed's voice, which I enjoy.
Yeah, which is very funny.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah, but he basically has... Hello. He's almost like that little worm from the labyrinth again.
Yeah.
Hello.
What are you doing here? And he says, I've come here to find another body for Kiv.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Off you go. One on the left, one cross each.
He always goes, have you got permission? And you go, yes. And he goes, oh, go on then.
Fair enough. So he goes over to see one of Blessed's men and says, don't worry, I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah.
And then he goes over to Blessed, who's in a jail cell, who's spitting at him. And he says, I'm here to save you, actually.
Yeah.
And somehow they manage to lock Kiv's guard, Crozier's guard, sorry, in the cell and run away with Blessed. And then again, the little man on the pond goes, "Oh, you found one then?" He's like, "Oh, yes, yes." Like,
"Did you get permission?" "Yes, yes, I got permission." "I'm going to stick 2 litres of Ribena tooth kind up your ass. Have you got permission?" "Yes." "Oh, well, go on then."
Bends over.
"Thank you for not shouting."
Also, the guy that they save, it's never really clear who all these other men are running around. Not the guards, but the other indigenous Aztec-y type people.
Yes.
One of them looks like Ed Miliband.
They look like they've just walked out of the mysterious cities of gold.
I know, it's very odd. Also, who are these people? Is it their planet? Are they what's going on? I don't quite understand who they are.
Who don't know?
Yeah, anyway.
But as the operation's being prepared, so the Doctor and Blessed and everybody run off, and then Teen Wolf dies.
Yes, he does.
Blessed says he was such a brave warrior, it's probably good that he got shot.
Yeah.
Seen the fucking state of him.
Yeah.
So Perry is strapped down and then gagged.
Oh my God.
This is miserable, isn't it?
And then Crozier goes, "Well, we'll have to shave her head."
Yeah.
Unbelievable. This is just... poor girl, she just wandered into the middle of all this now.
The Doctor's running at a breakneck pace.
Yeah.
And then the TARDIS just appears and he goes,
"Yes.
See you later, lads."
Yeah.
he then moonwalks back to the TARDIS. Yeah. Which isn't the TARDIS, it's like a ghost TARDIS, but apparently it's him being summoned to the very court case he's in.
And then it goes straight to the trial, and then he goes, "Oh, I remember this now." Yeah.
He's like, "What?
Hang on.
Doesn't make any sense."
And they're like, "You let your companion die." And he's like, "You did that?
You did that. You made a ghost TARDIS appear, and I very normally moonwalk backwards into it.
I just, all the life drained from my eyes, and I.
It all made perfect sense." Yeah. And then you create a time bubble and you make Perry get killed. It's perfectly normal.
And then they have the fucking brass balls to say, "If you hadn't have got Perry involved in this in the first place, it wouldn't have cost her life." And it's like,
that seems
to go against the whole point of this trial, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That he gets companions killed and now you're helping him do it.
But I still don't get it. Is it because... I'm trying to figure out the sort of timeline of it in the sense of that it was the people on Gallifrey that summoned the Doctor that did that. So did they? So is it because of that summoning that he's now on Gallifrey on trial?
Yeah, he was put on trial for letting his companion die, which hadn't happened
which they created. Even though he's already been on a previous episode trial.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It just makes no sense.
And there's three or four more to come. Whoa. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm glad we cleared that up.
Meanwhile, Blessed's still running to help Perry, but then he gets put in a time bubble.
Yes.
It's brilliant. Just.
And he's a big England fan, isn't he? Because he keeps on shouting, "Wayne Rooney!" As he
"Get down! My Hawkmen!" And then meanwhile Kiv wakes up as Bald Perry.
Oh my god.
And then goes, "I like this." I bet you fucking do.
But she's got horrible modulated half Perry, half Kiv voice. It's really disturbing. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's a great
look at the state of these jugs, lads. Horrible. You're disgusting, you two are.
It's a very good performance from Nicola Bryant.
It's brilliant.
But it is horrible. It's really horrible.
But meanwhile, then Blessed's freed of the bubble.
Yeah.
He runs in, sees Syl, shoots him.
Yeah.
Then sits up from behind him is Perry, and she's like, "My queen!" She's like, "Have you brought any Bisto?" And he shoots her.
He just shoots her.
And then they go, "Perry died because you abandoned her." What?
Yeah. What? No, he didn't. No, you pricks.
He brought me here.
Yeah.
He goes, "No, you brought me here, created a time bubble, and used fucking King Yakranos, Brian Blessed, to murder my companion. That's what you did."
And then
you did it, Doctor. What?
And then the Valiard says that the interference of the Time Lords was to prevent a greater disaster. Then what?
What was that?
what were the stakes here? Was that Kiv was going to go in someone else's body? What?
He would have gone into a mecha body and gone smashed up the cosmos.
This doesn't make any sense.
No.
No sense at all.
What you end up with is a story that's just really upsetting and confusing and Why would you tune in next week? You'd be like, oh, the Doctor and Perry, and the Doctor just abandons Perry, who's
because
dead.
Because next week everyone looks like fannies, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, the Doctor then says that the present trial appears to be serving a greater cause, and I will resolve to determine what it is as we continue. It's like, no, Perry's just been murdered.
Yeah.
And we're also, you know, go back in time, sort it out.
Mm, I like the fact that Perry keeps her earrings on. That's good. That's nice. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. A little bit of dignity. A little bit of dignity.
Oh, yeah. I like
she
these.
Said it. She said at the time when they said, look, we're writing you out, how would you like to go? And she said, I don't want to be one of those companions who just shakes the Doctor's hands and goes, goodbye. She said, I want something with a bit of whatever. So, right. My God, they went, all right then.
They misheard her and thought she said, looking like Brian Glover.
It is an 8-foot creature.
With acid for blood.
Actually, I've been talking about Syl. It is a 2-foot fuckwit.
Talking of which, Syl doesn't die, does he?
No.
No, he's still around.
It's the carrier that he's in that gets destroyed.
That's right.
So he may as well be dead. It's not like he's going anywhere.
No.
I'm such a surprise he didn't get used again. Oh, no, I'm not.
he's so still there around. We go. He's still doing his spin-offs and stuff.
He's doing his unofficial canon, yeah.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's Mind Warp.
Mind Warp.
What happened in it?
I don't know. It's going really well. And then it all of a sudden, because it's all leading to like the Doctor going, trust me, I've got a plan, trust me, I've got a plan. And then when the Doctor has to enact his plan, he, like you say, one walks into the TARDIS and leaves. And you're like, what's going
to
happen?
What was your plan? Oh, your plan was to be a traitor. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Okay, that's fun.
Your assistant's just been killed. Did she? I don't know. Oh. Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah, sure. You're the Doctor.
Tune in next week, lads. I got Bonnie Langford.
Doris!
Not the shed. I'm not going in there again.
Doris, burn down the house and stay with me constantly. Everything's going.
So.
Oh my God.
What are we going to score that as? I'd like to score that out of 100 out-of-date cornettos.
Why not?
Mm. I'll go first.
Go for it.
Yes, you must.
Despite the fact that on paper this is shit, right? Yeah.
I'd
like that on the record.
Sure.
Yes.
I had a fucking great time watching this.
It's a lot of fun, isn't
and
it?
And it's a lot of fun. Yeah. And also, we forgot to mention that Tom owns a part of this.
I do. Ooh. I own one of the little the press
Oh, is that the thing that you showed us?
If you go back to episode one,
yes.
Wow.
You'll hear a Tom displaying something to us.
Yeah.
Which he owns, which is from this story.
Amazing. A piece of history.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I had a great time. I love Colin. I think he's so good.
Yeah.
And he's been so hard done by, and it makes me sad. Especially when you watch the recent season 24 Blu-ray and he is on Saturday Superstore talking to a child and being wonderful, and then the caption says, Colin already knew at this point he'd been fired. And you're like,
oh, it's so tragic, isn't it?
He's like, what I love most about being the Doctor is getting to talk to people like you.
Oh,
like, but he already knows he's not the Doctor anymore.
Oh no!
That happened. I can't tell this on air. Anyway, I'll tell you
off
air.
Okay, tell us off
air. about that very thing where you know that you've been shoved off and you have to pretend like everything's fine.
So,
am I being axed from Wheezing Groaning? And this is the heart lesson. Oh, he's still here. He's still being brave.
I'm just going to email Tom Crowley.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely love this episode and I really had a lovely time with it, even though none of it makes sense and it's stupid. Mm. And so I'm going to give it 70 out of date cornettos.
Yes. Hey, Miss Paul Litchfield.
Okay, I just don't know what... it's the same thing. I sort of really enjoyed it. But it's batshit, makes no sense. Mm. I think because it hits the ground running at 100 miles an hour. Mm. Weirdly, the bits that don't work is when it just keeps cutting back and forth to the bloody court case, weirdly.
Mm.
If you just let that story play out, I think you could have had a lot more breadth and stuff to do with it. Everyone is so over the top and mental. There's so much going on. There's alien beast. There's three different types of Syl wandering around. There's a fucking dog man. You got Blessed just chewing up the furniture. It's just really mad and relentless. And it's all just blink and you miss loads of plot. You're like, what is going on? And then after all this fun, jolly craziness, descends into the bleakest, most horrible companion departure ever. Just... gagged, shaved, mind-boggling, shot. And you're like, oh my God, it's horrible.
Imagine if you watched this with all the Valeyard bits edited out, you'd be like, the doctor's going to save the day. Oh no, he's getting in his TARDIS and leaving.
It's like, the only thing I can equate the story to, it's like going on a helter-skelter and you're going, wow, this is really good fun, but right at the bottom is just knives and a lion and turds. And like, oh my God, I'm going to hit one of those three things! And that's what it was to me. I don't know whether, I mean, it's just, it's not much of a story, but it's just really mad. It's just really mad.
It's mad.
I think I might join you exactly, did you say 70?
I did, yeah.
I'm going to join you on 70, because it just... I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it, even though I know that it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But I loved it all the same. Oh. But Perry's death is so shocking.
Yeah, it is.
I agree. I think it doesn't work as a Doctor Who story. It sort of doesn't even work in the context of the entire trial, because right at the end of Trial of a Time Lord, they just go, oh, Perry didn't die. She's married to King Ikarnos. And you're like, okay, that's... Oh. Right.
Yeah. But with Kiv inside her?
Yeah, it's unclear.
I don't know. So, like hanging at her ass.
Yeah. There's a sting in the tail there.
With a sting. Also, she wouldn't be living with him. She didn't fancy him at all.
No, that would be. That is also a bad idea.
It was him or Chameleon.
Yeah.
Well, at least he comes with attachments.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
So. So what actually? So we don't know any really what happens in this story, because it's been tampered with the Matrix. I think, and so it's hard to tell. But that said, there's loads of fun aliens. They're really well characterized. Mm-hmm. Kiv and Syl and King Ikarnos, Andy and the captain Hilary Duff from The High Life. Mm-hmm. They're all really fun characters who are really fun to watch.
Yeah.
So. Mm. I think this is a lovely one where we're all in accord, and I'm going to give it 70 as well.
Oh! Is that the first time?
210. Yeah, that's the first time.
It doesn't deserve 210.
It really
fuck it, I love it.
Because I think
it really doesn't deserve
210. No, it really doesn't, but no. I'm happy. I'm really happy.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've never ever had synchronized scores before.
No. So
wow.
I think... It's just, it's so much fun to watch. It doesn't work as a Doctor Who story, but it is a joy.
Yeah.
Yes, but there are many other times where you watch a Doctor Who story and go, this doesn't work, but you're not entertained by it. It's really plodding and dull, and it's not acted very well. In this, everyone's just having a right old laugh. It's all over the top and fun.
And Colin has such energy about
it.
But no other. If this was a Davison story, I think it would have been dreadful.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, no,
it's just because Colin just carries it so well.
Even worse, it was a Hartnell story.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine?
Well, he'd be there trying to brain Perry to death before there was even any danger.
Yeah, that's
also
true,
he'd never have moonwalked.
No.
He would have done the cha-cha or something.
Well, yeah, the doctor would have gone, would have not saved Perry because he was off on his jollies to the Costa Brava. That'd be
on the Lanzarote with Wingard.
Yeah.
Right, correspondence.
Yes, of course.
Sorry. Tom Burgess says, Mind Warp makes me wish it turned out Adric escaped at the end of Earthshock and married Beryl Reed.
Fair enough.
Next one. Nick Burden, Mind Warp. Brian Blessed gives a measured performance if the measure was the size of the Eiffel Tower. Since watching The High Life with Patrick Reichardt playing Captain Hilary Duff, I can no longer take Crozier seriously.
Oh.
Andrew F says, never been a big fan of Mind Warp, but watching part 4 when it came out on Blu-ray, I think that episode on its own might be one of my favourites of the 80s. It doesn't remotely go where you'd expect. Also, love the old mentor who just wants to be left alone.
Yeah.
Toby Hidoki.
Yay!
If you don't mention Crozier's sip of coffee in Mind Warp, then I'm never talking to you again.
Oh.
Coolest baddie moment ever. We did, Toby, we did.
We mentioned it.
Sorry, we swore and talked about tits.
So, Toby, he remonstrated with me and said that he does not mind swearing and that he didn't know why we were apologising for swearing. But I don't know, I think he has an avuncular quality around his Doc 2 podcasting, which makes me feel embarrassed about swearing.
Now, I was going to say this because I watched one of Toby's Twitch things, gigs, and he was swearing like a docker.
Yeah.
So,
thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank goodness.
You're a good old shit.
Yeah.
Ben Thomas says, Mind Warp. Colin Baker had no idea if the events of the story were real or had been tampered with by the Valeyard. Neither the writer nor director knew, and the script editor had resigned by the time production began. So he just shouted his lines like usual and hoped for the best. Of course, when you have a situation like this with a script editor quit, the producer's probably pissed at a cupboard with a something I won't say.
Okay.
No one knows what's happening, and everything's in utter turmoil. You need calmer heads to prevail. So thank fuck Brian Blessed was around.
So basically, no one knows what in this story is real and what is created by the Matrix and what is a fantasy.
Basically, every single person involved doesn't know anything about it.
No.
Tamara Bundier says, Mind Warp, even the theme tune is shit. You can't headbang to that.
No.
I have a theory. Everyone had 10 minutes to bash down their idea for a script and they were all shit, but they put them together into the same story. And in a wild attempt to liven it up, they threw in Brian Blessed.
Possibly.
Martin says, Mind Warp, it's a bit of a trial.
Hey. Oh.
Why Perry ever goes into a cave again after Andrew Zani, who knows? Anyway, I find the narrative hard to follow in this one. That's true.
Yes, yeah. I think everyone did.
Greg Newport says, Mind Warp, always found Perry's death harrowing. The poor woman had been abandoned to die, and Colin's reaction upon seeing her fate is heartbreaking. Brian Blessed, not so much, chewing but wholesale consuming the scenery is always fun.
Yes.
And just checking if any more. Becky, I'm very conflicted over Mind Warp. It feels like nobody involved in this story, from the writing, acting, or production, knows or cares what anyone else is doing, resulting in a mess which is often quite fun and quite often what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, very accurate.
Car Horizon, Mind Warp. Perry gets mind bothered and shaved by a slug.
That is what happened.
That is it.
Hooray.
So there we go. That's the end of Mind Warp.
Mind Warp. What a baffling but brilliant story.
Yeah.
It's almost better, like I think we've shown with this, that it's almost better sometimes to not know what's going on but be entertained than have an idea about what it is but just be very bored. I think we'd always prefer that. Yeah.
I think that's what you get with Colin, is that the stories aren't great, but he's great and there's usually good people in them and
you get
entertained.
And it's bright and colourful and sometimes just on the right side of over the top. But not, and that's how it works, which is great. Which they continue with the next Doctor, but they get it hopelessly wrong all the time.
Yeah, they do.
But there you go.
Well, there you go then, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of Mind Warp and that's the end of these little trilogy of episodes we're doing. We'll hope to be back soon.
Lovely.
Not as long as we were last time because of life. Oh, life.
Oh, life.
Do.
But we'll see you again soon. Thank you.
At Wheezing Pod on the tweets.
That's
keep wheezing and groaning.
Keep a drawing and a picturing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Keep on trucking.
I'm off to go and get scared by a ghost. I need a bit of toast.
I'm going to watch the evening news.
Okay, and I'm off to put some sill pellets around my asperdistras.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I make a podcast where I log in to celebrities' Amazon accounts. It's called...
What a brilliant idea for a pod. There's no original pods out there anymore, but this genuinely is.
Oh, thanks, Ben Bailey-Smith. Anyway, it's called...
This is good, isn't it? It's clever, this podcast. You should do more.
Thanks, Kerry Godleyman. It's called...
This is such a great idea, by the way. What great podcast.
Shappy Corsander, you're too kind. The podcast is
called... It's biographical. You can get all sorts of information out of people. This is a very good idea.
Thank you, Nick Helm. It's called My Mate Bought a Toaster.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Thanks, Alex Horn. Can you tell your friends?
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.